Amen. Can't shout on ice cream, you backslid. Homemade ice cream at that. Amen. Good to see you this morning. Good to be here at God's house. I'm glad you're here, each and every one of you. Do continue to pray for those that couldn't be here this morning for sickness and different reasons. And continue to lift each other up in prayer. Encourage one another. And help each other along the way. We need each other. Amen.
Amen.
We need each other. Amen.
Amen.
And like I said the other week, the church needs you and you need the church. It works together. We need each other. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke, book of Luke tonight, this morning, the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 23. The Gospel of Luke 23. We are thankful this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we want to always do remember and be in remembrance of our soldiers that have fought to give us the freedom that we have, and
Amen.
The people that have stood for things that are right down through time. And hey, if somebody hadn't took a stand, we wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
And so we want to be thankful and grateful for those that have went on before us. And the Bible says to remove not the ancient landmark that thy fathers have set. So we want to be careful to always remember what they've done for us and stand what's right in the days ahead. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all with me this morning? All right, everybody stand up with me and we'll read, if you will, Luke 23. And I want to say I thank God I was born in America.
Amen.
Just as a side note, I thank God I was born in a free country where we could stand here this morning and worship God, read the Word of God. And I'm thankful that the song says, in times like these, I need a Savior. And then it says, I know I have a Savior. And I'm thankful that I have a Savior, but I'm thankful. I think I could write another verse to that song. He said, in times like this, we need a Bible, and thank God we have a Bible.
Amen.
And we know we have a Bible. We don't have to worry about which 355th version it is. Hey, it's that King James that stood the test of time. Amen. And I thank God we have a Bible, an inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God right here this morning in our hands. And let's open it up, because that's what's going to help us this morning. In Luke chapter 23, in verse number 39, the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hey. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the reading of your word. I pray you bless it. I pray you bless the preaching of your word. I pray you bless your servant this morning. I pray you'd help us. Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I pray you fill me with your spirit. God, I pray you give me the unction to preach. I pray, God, you'd breathe on us this morning. In Jesus' name, we do think of those that couldn't be here this morning. We pray you touch them and, Lord, give them the grace and the comfort that they need. And God, that healing hand upon their lives and their bodies. But God, for those that are here this morning, Lord, we believe that we're here, Lord, by divine appointment. We're not here by accident. We're not here by happen chance, but we're here because it was directed of the Lord that we be here this morning. So, Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to get all you've got for us this morning. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd use me. I pray you'd fill me. I pray, God, you'd give me unction from on high to preach your word. Have your will and way here this morning. In all that's said and done, I pray that it would be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do and all you've done and all you are. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. We look here in the passage, and I want you to look down there in verse number 42, where the Bible says, in this thief speaking, and he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I want to think about that word remember this morning for a little while. Remember me. And I want to preach along these lines on how to get God to remember you. How to get God to remember you. We think about that word remember, and that word remember means to recollect or to have in mind an idea which had already been in your mind at one time before. It also means to bear or to keep in mind or to preserve the memory of something from being forgotten. It means to mention, make mention of, To put in mind, to remind, to means to think of and to consider, to bear in mind with esteem. When we think about this word remember, sometimes we remember somebody and we're bearing them with esteem in our minds. We bear in our mind with praise and admiration. We're celebrating one by remembering them. We have celebrations for them. We bear in mind with favor. Listen to this. To bear in mind with favor or to care and regard for the safety or deliverance of someone. It's to bear in mind with intent or reward. It's to remind, remember, to be mindful of. And I think about this passage and this thief on the cross. We know that there were two thieves this day here at Calvary, one on each side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had committed the sins that they had committed. They'd broken the law. They committed the crime. History and study tells us that probably they weren't just thieves. They were murdering robbers. They probably some high criminals. They'd been in all kinds of thieves and beating people and probably even murder and things to that extent. And other things that are involved therein. And this fellow on the cross that day before he died, he looks over at the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." In other words, hey, keep me in mind when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, when you get where you're going, hey, keep me in mind. Keep me in mind with esteem. Would you bear in mind with favor and care and regard for the safety of me and for my deliverance? Would you bear me in mind when you come into your kingdom? And I think about this thief on the cross and how, hey, he lived a life of sin and reproach. And he knew that when he died, he knew he needed somebody to remember him. We think about this word remember. And if you've been where I've been along the line, you've heard people talk about, you know, hey, when you've heard some people say, hey, when you get rich, remember me. You ever heard anybody say that? Hey, when you strike it big, remember me. When you make the big time, don't forget me, remember me. And then you've heard people that when they passed away and they'll say, you know, your great uncle died, and man, we're sad to say that, but hey, we got some good news. He remembered you in his will. Have you ever heard anybody talk like that? Now, and hey, this old thief on the cross, he's about to die. He's hanging there. He's about to go into eternity. And he looks over at the Lord Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, would you remember me? Would you keep me in mind? Would you, hey, have regard for my safety and my deliverance when you come into your kingdom? Would you remember me? Would you have something to make mention of about me when you get where you're headed?" And I think about that this morning. And not only does that thief on the cross need the Lord Jesus to remember him in eternity, but every last one of us, hey, you need the Lord Jesus to remember you. I need the Lord Jesus to remember me. And how this morning, hey, we look at this passage. I want to show you about three things. How can you get the Lord to remember you? How can we get God? How can I get God to remember me? How can I get God to keep me in mind in eternity? How can I get God to keep me in mind and to bear me in mind with the regards to my favor and to regards to my safety and my deliverance, with, hey, keeping me in mind and putting me in a stand? How can I get God to remember me? I'm interested, brother, this morning in knowing that God's going to remember me in eternity. Amen? Anybody? Amen. Hey, would you like to know that, hey, when you close your eyes in death, hey, they may forget you on planet Earth. They may not know your name in the history books. You may not never make the big lights and the big time. But, hey, in heaven, hey, in the halls of heaven and in the books of the life, hey, God will remember you. Amen. God will remember you. Amen. We think about the people we remember and the soldiers we remember and the wars and the veterans, and we remember them. But hey, how much greater would it be if the Lord of glory, hey, said, "I remember you." Right. This morning I'm interested in knowing how can God remember me, and I want God to remember me. And I want to show you about three things right quick. And number one, I want us to just jump right into it. Number one, if God's going to remember us, if we're going to get God to remember us, number one, hey, you're going to have to fear God. Old thief on the cross, he's about to die in verse 40, and he looks over at his buddy on the other side, and verse 39 says that the one malefactor was railing. He's hanging there about to die. His last breath, he's cursing the Lord Jesus, and he's railing on him, and he's coming down on him hard, and he says, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and up." I mean, and if you go back and read Matthew and Mark, both of these thieves were doing that for a while, but there came a point in time when one of them came to his senses a little bit. And he looks over at his buddy in verse 40 and he says, "Dost not thou fear God? Dost thou not fear?" Hey, that old boy realized who was hanging beside him, and he looked over there and he said, "Hey, if I'm going to get any help, I'm going to have the fear of God." Dost thou not fear God? I know I said some things about the fear of God. I think it was last week or in the weeks going by. But hey, I want to say this morning. We're going to have to, hey, if God's going to remember us and have us in mind and make mention of us in any type of good regard, hey, in any type of reward, in any type of anything in the future, in eternity, hey, you're going to have to learn to fear God. And that's something, this is a topic, this is a doctrine, this is a teaching that's not, we don't hear a lot of in our day, and we don't hear much talk about the fear of God. All we want to hear, like Brother said in Sunday school, all they want to talk about today is the love of God and the grace of God. I'm thankful for the love of God, and I'm thankful for the grace of God, but might I tell you this morning that God, before He's a loving God, He's a holy God, and He's separate from all sin. He can't touch sin. He can't look on sin. He turned His eyes on His own Son, Jesus Christ, hey, for 3 hours because He became sin. He's a holy God, and He's going to judge sin, and if your sin's not judged at Calvary, it's going to be judged in a lake of fire. And let me say this morning, hey, look up in here, you're going to have to learn to fear a holy and a righteous and a mighty God. Amen. It's the Bible still says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Right. You say, why would God be angry? Well, you look around. Hey, I'll tell you why, because most people don't have no fear of God. Hey, you look into churches, and we look into churches, and why do churches do what they want, and the things have changed, and they don't preach the Word of God anymore, and all they emphasize on is puppet shows and music and different things. Hey, and they've done away with the preaching of the Word. I'll tell you why, because they don't fear God. I'll tell you why people, hey, don't care what the Word of God, and when the preacher says, they throw it over their shoulder and say, hey, that was all right. That was a good little speech. That was a good little talk. Now let's go on out, eat some fried chicken, forget about it, and go fishing. I'll tell you why, because they don't fear God. I tell you why a preacher can preach things and say, this is what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. It's not my opinion. It's not nobody else's. This is what the Bible says. And people say, well, I don't understand. Just last night, somebody emailed me and wanted to know what God said about adultery, what He said about a divorce and remarriage, what He said about fornication and living with somebody before they were married and different things. And I said nothing of opinion. Hey, I gave them all, I emailed them back probably a dozen or better Bible verses. I didn't say anything. The reply I got back this morning on the email, how can Jesus say this if He wasn't married? Let me say this. You know what that person was? Number one, they're ignorant. Right. But number two, they have no fear of God. Right. Let me say, hey, when they took God out of the schools and they took God out of the public schools and they quit emphasizing God and the Ten Commandments and the Word of God, hey, if He's not there, they turn their back to it. They turn their head on it. Hey, they don't have to think about it. And by the way, that's the atheist's agenda. Because if they say He don't exist, they think they don't have to give an account to it. Hey, but I got news for you. Darwin and the rest of them one day going to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Hey, where is the fear of God in our day? Where is the fear of God? The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3, hey, he describes, Paul's writing, he says, he's describing some people, he said, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known? Does that sound familiar? Come on, right. Hey, in the very next verse, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I think it's Psalm 36:1. The Bible says the way of the transgression, he said, is before their eyes. I'll just turn over to Psalm 36. The way of the transgression, Psalm 36:1. The psalmist writes, and he says this, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. In other words, why does the sinner live like he does? Why does people have no regard for the Word of God? Why do they not care what the Word of God says? Why do they go out and live like they live? Hey, why are we living in such a drug rampage society? Why are we living in a society where, hey, marital problems flood not only the society, but they flood the church just as much? Why are we living in an age, hey, my friend, hey, when people don't depend on God, when people are not faithful to God? Why are we living in an age when people don't have anything to do with church? They don't want to go to the Word of God. They don't care what the Bible says. Why are we living such wicked days where rape and murder and all these wicked crimes are on the rise? Hey, I'll tell you why. Because people don't fear God. Amen. We need to get back to a holy, healthy fear of God. The word fear, it's the word phobia, and it says it means to terrify or to put, hey, to put to flight by terrifying.
Well, that word just means to be reverent.
No, that word means to be scared to death and on the run because he's a holy and a righteous God. It means to be struck with fear, to be afraid, to be seized by alarm. And then it does also have that idea to be reverence or to venerate, to treat with deference or reverential obedience. Obedience. Because I fear God, I love God, and I obey Him. Because I know, hey, what did Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. He didn't say knowing the grace and the goodness of God. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Right. Amen.
Because they're going to go to hell, and because they're going to go to the lake of fire for eternity. And because I'm going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, whether I tell them or not. Paul said, the terror of the Lord motivates me. Later on in that verse, he said, the love of God, Christ constrains me. There's two motivations. Hey, but one of the motivating factors is the fear of God. The fear. Where is our fear of God? Where? Listen to some verses over in Proverbs chapter 1. And Solomon writes, and he's talking about the wicked of the society. And he says some things like this. He said, God's saying, listen, it's too late for you. And he's looking at some things, and he says, but when you have said it not, verse 25, all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. In other words, when your time to look comes and you think you've put it off and you just do what you want to, and when you start looking at me, God says it's going to be too late. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The next verse. Why, God? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord this morning is still the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is still the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, hey, it's still, hey, to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord, my friend. The fear of the Lord. Hey, it's still the beginning of wisdom. It's still the beginning. And that old thief on the cross, he looks over at his buddy, and he looks over from one side to the other, and he says, dost thou not fear God? And if you're going to please God, and God's going to remember you, hey, you're going to have to have a holy, healthy fear of God.
Amen.
Nobody will ever get saved until they fear God. I tell you why people continue to live in their sin and live like they want to and don't care what God says, and God gives them warning after warning, whether it's national catastrophe or personal injury or whatever it may be, and God gets close to them and they hear the preaching of the Word of God and they continue to live in sin and they continue to go on and rebel against the Word of God, and they continue not to believe Jesus Christ and trust Him, and they continue to say, I can wait till tomorrow. I'll tell you what the problem is. They don't fear God. We need a healthy fear of God. If you're going to get saved, hey, it'll come because you begin to fear God. And you realize that God is God. He's the sovereign God. He's in control. And this morning, hey, that old thief on the cross, he began to develop a fear of God there on the cross. Hey, I don't know what he knew before. I don't know what happened to him before. Hey, but when he was hanging on the cross, he realized, hey, that's God hanging there. You notice that? Jesus was hanging there, but that old thief on the cross, he knew something a lot of people hadn't figured out. He looks over and says, dost thou not fear God?
Right.
Yep. We have to have fear of God. But not only do we need to fear God, if God's going to remember you. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on about the fear of God. Maybe I ought to. But let me say this. Hey, church is still important. The Word of God is still important.
Right.
What God says, He meant, and He still means it today.
Right.
And though the Word of God may be a couple thousand years ago in its inspiration and its writings, hey, it's still preserved and it's still profitable
right.
to you and I. And it's still, watch it now, it's still the Scriptures that are able to make us wise into salvation. It's still what's profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God, hey, it still ought to be highly preeminent in your life.
Amen.
We need to fear God. We're too worried about other things. We're too worried about other people. Somebody said this, and I believe it's true. We fear men so much because we fear God so little.
Right.
And the Bible still says that the fear of man is a snare.
Right.
Hey, and we fear God. We're too worried about, hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, listen, a lot of people won't get saved Listen to me. A lot of people are too prideful and too scared to walk an aisle and ask the Lord to save them because they're too scared what somebody's going to think of them in the church. Well, what will they think if I'll tell you what the people in this place will think. If you come down and get saved this morning, I'll tell you what they'll think. They'll think, hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray for you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to help you along the way. We are so glad you trusted Jesus. That's what the people at the church. And then they say, well, I don't know. And the devil wants to. Hey, I tell you, man, I remember years I was under conviction, sitting in church, knew I was lost, had that thing going on in my mind, and I was too worried about what the people I grew up around and what they thought. What would they think if Travis walked out in front of them? What would they think? What would they say? What would they think? Hey, and you're going to have to shuck that pride behind your back, throw it away, and say, devil, I ain't going to hell for you or nobody else. I don't care what the preacher thinks. I don't care what my mama thinks. I don't care what my wife thinks. I don't care what the deacons think. I don't care what. Hey, I fear God way more than I fear man, and I ain't going to hell for you or nobody, and I'm going to go down there and trust Christ.
Right. Amen.
And then they're worried about what the people at the job think, or what the people at the beer joint think, or what the people where I'll tell you what they think. They'll think you're crazy.
Right.
But it really won't matter what they think.
Amen.
Because they are not the judge of the universe.
Right.
Dost thou not fear God? Dost not thou fear God? We need to have a fear of God. Not only do we have a fear of God, we need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in God. Watch this thief on the cross now. He's about to die. Y'all with me? He's about to die. I mean, they didn't hang him on the cross just to put him in the corner and let him die. No, he's about to die. Hey, this is it, Brother Steve. He's about to, sayonara, baby. He's gone. Watch it now. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's starting to come to. He's starting to put faith in this Jesus Christ. Here's what he does. You'll never be forgiven of your sin until you're willing to repent of your sin.
Right. Come on.
That word repent means to change your heart and your mind and to go the other way. It's to change your mind and your heart with a resulting change of actions about sin and about the Savior. In other words, I'm living my way. I'm living in unbelief. I'm living in sin. But I'm willing. I realize, hey, Lord Jesus, I realize you're God. I realize you're the judge. I realize you're the Savior. And I'm willing to, hey, I'm not going to do it my way anymore, but I'm now willing not to go my way. But, hey, God, I'm willing to turn this thing around and let you have the reins. And, hey, we're going in a different direction. And you'll never be forgiven of God. You will never have salvation and the security to know that you're saved and born again until you're willing to repent. And you cannot, listen to me, you cannot separate true faith and true repentance.
Right.
Somebody said, well, all you got to do is believe. If you really believe, you'll repent.
Right.
And if you really, and that's not works, friend, that's the Bible. Yes. Except you repent, Luke 13:3, you shall all likewise perish.
Right.
Paul said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you over in Acts 20:20. He said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. He said, I showed you and I've taught you both publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Hey, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He put it together. He said, this is what's profitable to you. This is what's going to help you. But you won't, watch it now, you won't have repentance until you do what this thief on the cross did. Here's a sign of true repentance. Number one, he come under conviction. And this conviction has to do with awareness of sin. And he come under the awareness and he looks over at his buddy and he says, hey, dost thou not fear God? And he says, thou art in the same condemnation and we indeed justly. In other words, he became acutely aware of his sin and the price of his sin. And he become aware of it. Hey, that old boy come under conviction on the cross. That old boy said, hey, Jesus is hanging there. He's done nothing wrong. Hey, thief, buddy, on the other side, don't you fear God? We're hanging here because we deserve to be here.
Right.
He become aware of his sin. He's under conviction. But not only did he come under conviction, he had a contrite spirit. He had a contrition. It talks about his attitude. He said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? For we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. Now before, if we go back into Matthew and Mark, John, we'll read this account of the crucifixion. You'll find out that both of these thieves were railing, cursing God. Both of them. But this old boy, when he became aware of his sin, his attitude changed. And when his attitude changed, he was contrite. And that's the kind of spirit that God will not despise. And he begins to call out on God, not only conviction, contrition, but he was confessing. That's when he says, Lord. Jesus was his name. Lord was his title.
Right.
Jesus was like John, David, Bob. Hey, but Lord is who he is.
Right.
Hey, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. The Bible still says in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I'm glad he's my Savior, but the Bible says we've got to confess him as Lord.
Right.
Hey, he confessed him. He acknowledged his sin, and he began to, hey, listen, here he is. He's saying we're hanging here. We're doing it justly. Hey, we're getting our due reward. And not only that, but he's confessing his sin, and he's confessing the Savior. And this morning, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to trust Christ and be in heaven, hey, for eternity, hey, if God's going to remember you, you're going to have to confess your sin and confess the Savior. There's two things, friend. Hey, you'll not go to heaven holding on to your sin.
Right.
But you'll not go to heaven without the Savior holding you. You're going to have to confess the Lord Jesus. And watch it now. And then there's conversion. That is not only the acknowledging, but the abandoning. And that old boy, he was abandoning, man. He said, hey, buddy, hey, you on the other side? Hey, you might not fear God, but I'm trusting this one in the middle. No, hey, we run together. We've robbed. We've beat. We've shot. Hey, they've done a lot of things. He said, but right now, the one in the middle, hey, I'm teaming up with him. He abandoned his buddy. Let me say this morning. I don't know what it is. And we're not saved by works. It's by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God. But let me say this morning, if there's a sin you're holding on to and you say, I would get saved, but I'd have to. Hey, you're holding on to that sin and you're going to have to abandon that sin. You'll never be converted. You'll never be saved until, hey, you're willing to say, hey, God, I'm willing to lay this down. I don't care if it's alcohol. I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care if it's money. Hey, and the love of money, I don't know what it is. I don't care if it's running around on your wife. I don't care who it is. Hey, I don't care what it is. Hey, if there's something you're holding on to and you say, I'd get saved, but I don't want to give up with that, that right there is the God of your life, and you're going to have to abandon it.
Amen, sir. You're right.
And he said, Lord. He confessed him as Lord. That word Lord, it means, it speaks of the one having power or authority. It is he to whom a person or a thing belongs, about which he has the power of deciding. He is master and Lord. He is the owner and the one who has control. And that old thief on the cross, he's showing his true faith in God when he's crying out and he's saying, Lord. Just the mere mention of Lord. Hey, I'm not my Lord anymore. I'm not talking to Pilate. I'm not talking to Caesar Augustus. I'm talking to Lord. And he's acknowledging that Jesus, hey, you're the master. You're the ruler. You're the owner. Hey, and Lord, would you remember me? I'm nothing. I'm a murderer. I'm a thief. I've done a lot of things that I don't deserve. Hey, Lord, would you remember me?
Right.
Lord, master, owner, he's confessing him as Lord. There's a couple of things that shows his faith. I'm talking about how to get God to remember you, and you're going to have faith in God. You're going to have faith enough to confess him. You're going to have faith enough to confess your sin and faith enough to confess him as Lord. But watch this. There's some interesting thoughts in verse 42. I want you to see. This man had said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. Steve, I ain't too smart, but I know this. They was hanging on a cross, all three of them about to die. And this old boy said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Number one, he got something a lot of people hadn't figured out. Jesus was a king, or he wouldn't have had a kingdom.
Right.
That word kingdom means to have a realm of authority and rule. And he said, Jesus, you got a kingdom. So he believed he was king. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Jesus the king. There's only one. And wait a minute. Not only did he believe he was king and Lord, but he must have believed in the resurrection.
Right. Right.
You say, where did he get that? I don't know where he got it. I don't know if he heard some of the apostle John or Jesus or somebody preaching before he got to the cross. I don't know what he heard. But I know one thing. He might have looked up there on the top of the sign and seen where it said, hey, Hail Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And it might have clicked on him. Hey, that's the King of the Jews. That's the Messiah. He can't stay dead. I don't know where he heard it, but somewhere along the line, hey, that old boy heard the resurrection. Hey, if he hadn't heard about the resurrection, why was he asking a dead man to remember him when he came into his kingdom? Let me say, the gospel is still the death, the burial, and the resurrection.
Amen.
The death, the burial, and the resurrection. And hey, if you're going to get saved this morning, if you're going to be in heaven for eternity, it's going to be because you placed your faith that Jesus Christ was dead on the cross, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again for your sin, according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
And that's it. That's the gospel in the nutshell. That's it, friend. And that old boy hanging there, he says, hey, I got faith in you. I got faith. Hey, I fear you, but I got faith in you. You're Lord. I'm wrong. I'm here because I deserve it, and you ain't done nothing amiss. And I believe you're the King. I believe you're the Messiah. Not only that, I believe you're going, when you die, I believe you're coming out of here. You're going to conquer death, and you're going to raise again. And I'm asking you to remember me. You're going to have faith in God. If you want God to remember you, you're going to have faith in him.
Right.
There's a lot of people watching. Now, there's a difference between believing God and believing in God.
Right.
There's lots of people that believe there's a God. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Think about it, man, in the world in which we live, I'm a person of faith. I get so sick of hearing, I'm a person of faith. What? The Muslims are people of faith.
Right.
But their faith is directed in the wrong direction.
Right.
It's not about holding my hands and singing Kumbaya. I just believe. What do you believe? Who do you believe? Apostle Paul said, I know whom I am believing, and am persuaded that he is able to keep me against that day. Keep that which I've committed to him against that day. What have you believed? Hey, the devil's James. Hey, the devil believed and trembled. The devil. Hey, Satan and all his little demon friends. Devil. Hey, those little. Hey, they believe. They know, friend. Hey, they were at the cross. They watched Calvary. They saw him die. They saw him come out the grave. They know that that was their Waterloo. They know, friend. They know it's real. You better believe they believe. But they have never, personally trusted and asked his forgiveness and placed their faith in what he did for them.
Right.
And there's a lot of people sitting in church pews this morning. Listen to me. There's a lot of people sitting on church pews all across America. They've said a little prayer. They've signed a little card. They've joined a little social club. They've done this. They've been baptized. They've done a lot of religious ritual deeds. Hey, but they have never placed their personal faith in what Christ did for them.
Right. Amen.
It's not enough to have the intellectual knowledge to know that a man named Jesus died and was risen again, but to know that, hey, I trust you, Jesus, that you did it and that you did it for me. And I'm asking you to put me, on your name. Hey, I want my name on your account. I want your name on my account. That change life. My life for his, his life for mine. And that's salvation, friend. We have to have faith in God. He's the Lord. But not only that, let me give you this last point. He had fear of God. He had faith in God. But watch it now. He had favor with God.
Right.
I like this. He said, hey, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, watch it now. Jesus didn't take up a vote. He didn't call the elders together. He didn't call the apostles and draw straw. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. Jesus said, we're about to die, and when you wake up on the other side, you're going to be with me in paradise. That word paradise has to do with the abode of God. It has to do with just a paradise, or we call it heaven. I know that in Jesus' day, we believe that the Old Testament saints did not go directly to heaven until the Lord Jesus went to Hades on the compartment of the righteous where Abraham's bosom, and he went there and he led captivity captive. And when he led captivity captive, hey, since then, and after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and we're in heaven. But at this time, when Jesus went to paradise, paradise, I believe, was in the heart of the earth.
Right.
It was the good side of Hades, if you want to call it that. Hell's on one side, paradise on the other. However, God had it split, but there was a great gulf in between. And Jesus told that thief, that one who had, hey, had no good in himself, he didn't deserve it, he sat there and confessed it on the cross, I'm hanging here and it's for my, I'm getting my just reward, I deserve what I'm getting, I deserve to die. He knew he ought to go to hell, he knew he didn't deserve anything good, and he looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, would you remember me? Would you keep me in mind? Would you have good favor toward me? Hey, when you come into your kingdom, would you have my reward, and not only my reward, but my deliverance? And hey, would you keep me in mind? Would you make mention of me when you get to where you're going? And Jesus looked at him and said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can you imagine? I'm about done. Could you imagine with me just for a few seconds? They're about to die. They're hanging on a cross. And this old boy confesses his sin. He confesses the Savior. And Jesus gives him that answer today. I'm thankful that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say, and you might be, and you'll have to hold on till the end and wait and see what happens when we wait. No, he said, if you believe, he said, thou shalt be saved. Amen.
Right.
It's an immediate thing. I think a lot of times in the Gospels we read, and Jesus come by, and somebody come by and asked him to touch him, and when he touched him, and it says, and immediately they received their sight, and immediately they began to walk. And I'm glad we serve a God that's immediate working God. He's an immediate saving God.
Yeah.
Watch me now. Think about this thief. He's about to die. One of them's going to die cursing God. He's going to wake up in eternal torment and damnation and separation from God in hell and the lake of fire forever and ever. But the one over here that's calling out, hey, Lord, would you remember me? Think about this. Jesus gives up the ghost. He commits his spirit to the Father. He's dead. His body's hanging on the tree. But we know that the Lord Jesus, who he is, not his body, but him, left that body and went to Hades. Now watch it now. Jesus goes down there and preaches and leads captivity captive. Could you imagine? This is what Jesus said. He didn't say in 3 days. He didn't say in 3 months. He said today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now watch me now. Jesus goes to paradise. Could you imagine Abraham? Could you imagine Isaac and Jacob? Could you imagine Moses and Joshua, King David, Daniel? I mean, all these Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, Zechariah. Could you imagine all these preachers and prophets, Joel and Amos? Could you imagine that, hey, they've preached about it. They've looked forward to the promise of the Messiah. They've preached about it. Man, they've looking forward in faith. Rahab, the harlot's in there. Hey, she had faith in God. Hey, and they're down there. Hey, old Job's there. I'm talking about in paradise, y'all with me? They're waiting on this Messiah. They're waiting on Jesus. Hey, and all of a sudden somebody walks in. And they might, I don't know. They might have seen some wounds in his hand. I don't know if they was there. But he walks in and they got to looking and they say, that ain't no ordinary fellow, buddy. That's the one. That's the one. Hey, Abraham says, hey, wait a minute, Isaac. That's the lamb we was looking for. They get to looking and they say, hey, there he is. Daniel says, there's the Ancient of Days. They're looking. Can y'all, are y'all with me this morning?
Hey.
Hey, and they see him coming in, and he's walking in paradise. And they look at it, and they start to realize, hey, that ain't just some nobody. Hey, that's the one. He's the one. And all of a sudden, I don't know how it went. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe Abraham wouldn't start talking to him. Maybe David saw. I don't know. Maybe they started talking. I don't know. You don't either. Just give me a little room for imagination here this morning. But watch me now. While he comes in there, about that time, here comes another fella. And this dude looks good, the first one. But the dude that's following him, he comes in, and he's kind of looking around like, wow, I don't know none of these people. And they're looking around like, we don't know him. And they get to looking at him, and man, he don't look too good. Man, he ain't dressed too right. He ain't cut his hair. He looks like some kind of thief. And he says, I was. He looks like he might have hurt some. I used to. Well, sir, how did you get here? What did you do to deserve to get here? And he says, nothing. Well, how'd you get here? I don't know. I'm with him. I'm with him.
What do you mean? He said today, he said, I asked him to remember me when he got where he was going. And when he came, he said, when he came, I came with him. I didn't do anything to get here. I wasn't good enough. I didn't have any merit on my own favor. I couldn't have got myself. I didn't have enough money. I didn't do enough good deeds. I didn't do anything right until the very end. I just asked him, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And I am with him. I'm with him. The old thief on the cross, he's walking through paradise. He got saved in his last dying moment, and he walks in paradise, and all he can say is, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I didn't do it. And let me say this morning, hey, lest you think you're too proud. Hey, when you get to heaven, when you get to heaven one of these days and you walk in, let somebody ask you, how'd you get here? And what'd you do? Only thing you're going to be able to say is, hey, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him.
Amen.
Glory to God, amen. I'm with him. I say this, you better fear God, you better have faith in God, and you better hope to God. If you do, he'll have favor on you.
Right.
Favor is grace. It's that unmerited. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to merit it. But he poured out his favor on you at Calvary.
Amen.
When you confess him, when you repent of your sins and place your faith in him, he just pours favor on you and says, hey, I think I'll save you. Hey. That's the way, Father, he trusted me. Put his name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He trusted me. Hey, when he closes his eyes, he'll be with me. You say, where are you going to be forever? With him. Somebody says, where's heaven? I don't get it all. I don't understand it all. I believe heaven somewhere now is beyond the blue. I believe it's on the other side of outer space somewhere. I believe out there, hey, that there's a third heaven. I believe that there's a street of gold and mansions. I believe it's all. I believe what the Bible says. Somebody said, what about eternity? Are we going to be on earth? Are we going to be up there? What? Hey, I'll just tell you where I am. Jesus said that where I am, there you may be also. Wherever he's at, that's where I'm headed, friend. Hey, let me say this morning, if you'll ask him to remember you, if you'll confess your sins and repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to say he will remember you.
Amen.
Right. And when you get there, you'll just have to do like the rest of us. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And the only way I made it is through him.
Amen.
And when they asked me how I made it, quickly I stated by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I made it through. And if you can't say you're with him, hey, you ain't going in. I said, if you can't say you're with him, you will not go in.
Right.
And this morning I wonder, will God remember you? We're talking this morning on how to get God to remember you. Do you have fear of God? Do you have faith in God? Do you have the favor of God? Has God ever saved you by his wonderful grace? Have you ever confessed to your sins and trusted him personally? I can thank God that January the 10th, 1999, God came by Fishersville, Virginia, on a cold wintry night, and he came down in the person of the Holy Ghost, and he smote my heart, and he convicted me, and he showed me my sin, but he showed me on the other side of my sin. He showed me a Savior who loved me while I was still in my sin, and he saved me, and he made me a brand new creature.
Right.
And one day in eternity, I'll never write books of the Bible like John. I'll never write any kind of things like Daniel. I'll never have any kind of books wrote down like the Apostle Paul. I'll never walk on the water like Peter. I'll never do some of the great things that David did. I'll never walk the land that Abraham walked and do the things he done. But I can say this, I'm with him.
Right.
I'm with him.
Hey.
Thank God. God will remember you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray today, God, that you'd have your will and way this morning. I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you convict souls. Lord, you know who need to hear this message this morning. Lord, I believe you put it on my heart for somebody. Oh God, I pray today would be their day. God, I pray you'd help them to shuck the pride, shuck the sin. I pray you'd help them to get sick of the sin. I pray, God, you'd help them to see the Savior standing with open arms wanting to save them. God, I pray you'd have your will and way today. God, I pray for Christians who've gotten away and we've got slack and careless. We've let things creep into our life because we have lost a healthy fear of God. And God, I pray you'd help us to realize, Lord, you've got reward for your Christians, but Lord, we can lose them. Help us, Lord, have a healthy fear and trust in you. I pray you bless now. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name. Amen. The pianist.